We're starting a new series. I don't know how long we'll go, maybe 3 or 4 or 5. I don't know. I just jump in and go for a while. Called Outrageous Faith, and that's the series title. There is a story about a man who was working on the roof of his house. He was trying to fix his television antenna. And as he was trying to rotate that antenna so that he could watch the football game. Now, there may be those that... Do you know a television antenna on the roof, what that is? Do most know? Anybody not know what that is? Well, we used to put an antenna on the roof so we could watch TV. And if it wasn't turned the right way, you didn't get good reception. Well, this guy was up there trying to turn his antenna, and I'm not talking about me. And he lost his footing, and he started slipping off the roof. And the story says that when he finally slipped over the side of the house, he grabbed a hold of the gutter, and he was dangling there. After he finally got over the shock and started thinking about his situation, he looked down and started yelling, "Is there anybody down there that can help me? Is there anybody down there that can help me?" Finally, there was no answer. So finally, he looked up and he said, "Well, is there anybody else that can help me? Anybody up there that can help me?" All of a sudden, he heard an answer that kind of sounded like thunder coming from the heavens. And it said this: "Believe and let go." After a moment of thought, the frightened man cried out, "Is there anybody else up there that can help me?" What was his problem? His problem was he didn't have any faith. He did not believe and trust in the one who spoke from above. And sometimes we are just like that guy, hanging from the gutter of life, needing to have faith, needing to believe in God's Word. But sometimes we fail to do that. Sometimes we lack faith. What's interesting about this topic of faith, and that's what we're going to be looking at, and if you just say, "I'm going to teach on faith," it's a really big subject. And it's really sometimes hard to narrow it down to what I want to look at. And so I think I've done that. But when it comes to faith, it's very interesting to know that everyone has it. Everyone has faith. For example, a man who won't walk under a ladder has faith in superstition. Anyone who goes to bed at night and is at peace has faith that morning is going to come, that the sun's going to come up. To a certain degree, on a certain level, we all have faith. Even the late Madeline Murray O'Hare, the well-known atheist, expressed great faith in believing God doesn't exist. It's just faith that believes that. We by faith believe he does. They by faith say he doesn't. It's all by faith. We're going to begin this series called Outrageous Faith. And this morning I just have 2 points. And so if we were in a Bible school and you were having classes on sermon preparation, I would get a low grade because all good sermons have 3 points. Well, sometimes I have 1, 2, and sometimes many more than that. I have 2 points. The first one is, why are we going to study about faith? Why are we going to do it? Is it important for us to do that? A little confession time here. There are certain topics that I find difficult to teach on, because there are areas where I know I struggle. And so I thought about that. I thought, well, I don't know if I want to teach on faith because I think I am weak in faith in some areas, in some ways. How do you tell if you don't have a lot of faith? Well, do you worry? Well, yeah. Well, that's opposite of faith. Do you ever become fearful at all in certain things? Yeah, sometimes. Well, that reveals a lack of faith. Who am I to teach on faith when I also have lack of faith? Well, I came to this conclusion. I need it. I need to teach it. I need to study it. Because in studying it and going through these things, then my faith will be strengthened. Because isn't it true that James says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And so, it is important for me, who will admit has weak faith so often, to teach it and to study it and think about it and meditate on it. So I'm praying that I will benefit from this study. So why should we study faith? I'm going to give you seven reasons which reveal how important this message is. Also thought about this, I could have seven, we could have a series of messages on each one of these, but I'm not going to go that direction. And I want to give them to you. Number one, faith is a condition of being justified. Chapter 5, Romans 5, 1, it says this. You can turn there or just listen as I read. We don't have the verses on the screen for you. Sorry about that because our internet's down. It says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith as opposed to what? To works, effort, as opposed to anything we do. Number two, it's how we have access to God. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Number three, faith is the victory that overcomes the what? The world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And that's 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, the Bible says. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Number four, it's the only way we can please God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. All of that's faith. Number five, it's how we are to live as Christians. That's Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then he says this, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, we live the Christian life the same way we got into it, by grace through faith. That simply means that both are undeserved favors of God. Getting saved, undeserved favor of God. Living the Christian life in any kind of victory, all the grace of God. Here's another one. This is important. Faith is our shield against the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one as he tends to shoot his darts at us to try to bring us down, to try to injure us, to try to destroy us. The way we fight that is with the shield of faith. Here's another one. Last of all, number seven. Faith is key to answered prayer. Faith is key to answered prayer. Did I read Ephesians 6:16? I don't think I did. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And now Matthew 21 to 22, it says, so Jesus answered them and said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Put all those things together, and it equals importance. Faith is important for you and me to understand, and not only just understand, but to apply to our hearts and lives. And so that's our first point. Pretty simple, huh? Why should we study it? Seven reasons. And you can find many more in the Bible. And you can just research that if you like and see how many more you can come up with. Now, the second main point, what is faith that pleases God? What is faith that pleases God? The Bible says only faith can please God. Well, what faith are we talking about there? We need to understand what faith is so that we can have faith that pleases God. First of all, to answer that particular question, let me first tell you what faith is not. Here it is. Faith is not some sort of a wishful longing or hoping. Like, I sure hope the Seahawks win the Super Bowl again this year. Or, I'm really hoping and wishing and praying for the Perigean Lake to be opened up. And also that we won't die of smoke problems from the fire there. That the wind will keep blowing the right direction. Well, that's not the kind of faith that we're talking about here. The faith that we're talking about is an absolute certainty. When I say faith is an absolute certainty, based on what? What you think? Many people's faith is in what they think. Or maybe it's in what others say, what others have told them. What is our faith based on? We can be absolutely certain based on the fact that we look at what God says to be true. Let me give you two definitions of faith. Definition number one, this is by James MacDonald, and he said this, it's on the screen, faith is believing the Word of God and acting upon it, no matter how you feel, because God promises a good result. That's a great definition of faith. This next one, it's very simple, but I really like it. And it is definition number two, and it's Philip Yancey's definition. He says this, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. That's a good one. Simple definition, but it states it, does it not? Well, we're looking this morning at Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and so I've added verse 6 also. 11, so you can turn to Hebrews 11 in your Bible. There's one next to the hymnal there for you. And we're going to read Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and then we're going to add verse 6. And so you'll have to look it up in your Bible there. I'll give you a minute to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and verse 6. It says this, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then it says this down in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Two things that we learn about faith. Also, first of all, Hebrews 11 is not so much a definition of faith as it is a description of faith. Like the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is on love, it's not so much a definition of love as it is a description of love. And so we have here also a description of true faith. First of all, number one, faith is substance. Now, faith is the substance of things, it says there. The things hoped for. The things promised. The things in the future. However you want to see that hoped for phrase. Notice the word substance. That particular Greek word that's used there can also be translated, and you might have it in the translation that you have there with you, as assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Or you might have the word realization, which is, now faith is the realization of things hoped for. So now faith is assurance or realization of the things hoped for or the things promised or future things. I like, and I have this on the screen there for you, I like how the Amplified Bible translates this verse. And it says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things hoped for. The Amplified Bible, in trying to help us understand that word translated substance or assurance, calls faith two things. First of all, number one, faith is the confirmation of things hoped for. Last November, we got online. Well, Sharon got online and I watched. She got online and we reserved a campsite for Perigen Lake, that which we're going to next week, Lord willing. And after we do that, we get a confirmation that we signed up for it. When we went on vacation, we reserved some motels along our way. And so when we reserved the motel, we also received a confirmation. And so he says this particular word translated substance could be faith is confirmation of things hoped for. Just like the confirmation you receive when you buy something online, you get a confirmation. But I really like the next one. He says this, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. The title deed of things hoped for. Or the things that God has promised. Or you could also, with that idea of title deed, I also thought of two more things. You could also say that faith is the receipt of things hoped for. Or the promises of God. Also, if you get your car paid for, what do you have to prove it's your car? What is it? A title. Same thing. We receive this little pink, is it called a pink slip sometimes? Of the title. Same thing. Not only is faith the title deed or the receipt that gives us assurance that it belongs to us, that it's ours. That's the substance that he's talking about here. And so our faith is the title deed of things hoped for. The title deed of the promises of God. Then he adds one more thought to this. He said, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Amplified Bible says, being the proof of things we do not see. And the conviction of the reality. We go online and we buy an item. we get a confirmation or a receipt. Well, I haven't seen it, but I believe I'm going to get it. It is the proof or the evidence of that which is real, that it's going to come in the mail. When it says it's going to be delivered, it comes in the mail and we get it. You go down and buy a piece of furniture. You sign on the dotted line and they say, we'll deliver it on Thursday. Well, what is the evidence of that? What is the proof of that? How can you guarantee that? The guarantee is I got the receipt. I got the confirmation. I've got that little piece of paper that says it's mine now. And if it doesn't show up, they got a problem because I've got the confirmation of the receipt here. So it's the evidence. It's the proof. He goes on, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed in the senses. I knew we had a site reserved for us, but it wasn't based on my senses. It was based on that confirmation, you know, that we received. Because I couldn't see it. So we see it. So how do I know I have a home in heaven? I've never seen the home in heaven. I've never seen it. How do I know? I've got the title deed. Faith in God's Word is the title deed. That's how I know I've got a home in heaven. God said that through Jesus Christ's shed blood, He bought that place for me. And I have the title deed of that home in heaven. What is it? He says it's faith. It's my faith. There is substance to it, reality to it. Faith is the proof. And out of that proof, God gives both assurance and conviction. We have this conviction, this assurance that when we die, we're going to go to be with Him in heaven. That we have a mansion in heaven, a place in heaven. What's the guarantee of that? We've got the title deed. The title deed is our faith in Him. How do I know God created the heavens and the earth? I wasn't there. Faith is the proof that gives both the assurance and conviction of that. The answer is God says so. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. See, whatever you believe about that, about creation, about how everything started, whatever you believe about that takes faith. You are choosing to believe the word of someone because you weren't there. I'm choosing to believe the word of someone because I wasn't there. The world says that seeing is believing. But God says, no, that's not the way it works. God wants us to believe in order to see. The psalmist said this in Psalm 27:13. He said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. He believed first that he would see the goodness of the Lord. And then he goes on and says, in the land of the living. Do you believe God? Do you believe God only when your circumstances are favorable and things are going good? Or do you still believe no matter what your circumstances might be? And the bottom falls out. And you're praying about it and it seems like the heavens are brass, they're cold, and God's not even listening. But you still believe. Do you still hold on to that title deed of things to come? See, David said, I had believed that I would one day see the goodness of the Lord. Isn't it true that we wait for the morning in the darkness of night? Isn't it true? And we believe that the morning is coming. And when we're living in times of darkness, trouble, pain, discouragement, we wait in faith for the light to come. It is faith. Someone said faith is the unshakable confidence in God that He is faithful to all of His promises. The foundation of true biblical faith is not in you and it's not in your ability, but it's in God and His ability. And His ability to keep His promises, to come through, no matter what things look like. Where does believing faith like that come from? You might be here and saying, I'm so full of doubt. I'm just having trouble when it comes to faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. This faith is a gift of God. It comes from Him as we look into His Word. Even with our doubt, we look into His Word, and our faith begins to grow and begins to build. What is the evidence that you have true faith, that you have saving faith? What is that evidence? Is there evidence that shows that, that demonstrates that, that proves that? True saving faith is revealed when you choose to act upon what you believe. For God says this, faith without works is dead faith. See, our works is not what saves us. Our works is the fruit of faith. Changed life is fruit of saving faith. Someone said, faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. That's for sure. I thought that was a pretty good definition of true faith. There was a Chinese native who once came to a missionary to ask for baptism. When asked where he had heard the gospel, he answered that he had never heard the gospel, but had seen it. He then went on to relate how he knew a man who had once been an opium smoker, addicted to opium, and a man of violent temper. This man had become a Christian, and his whole life had been altered. And he said this, I want the power that did that for him. He saw the gospel in that person's life. There is power in a changed life. Is there not? Because the changed life is the evidence, is the proof that we have saving faith. Does that mean we don't stumble and fall? No. That's not reality. No. But the evidence is a changed life, a changed walk. Dr. James McDonald told the story of a science professor who was teaching his class all about the pendulum. The pendulum is something suspended from a fixed point so as to swing freely back and forth. Pendulum. He taught his class that an untouched pendulum, is that how you say pendulum? 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 Pendulum, not pendulum. Pendulum will always swing in an ever-decreasing series of arcs. So he went on to prove his point. Mathematically, scientifically, that's the case. That as it swings back and forth, it's, you know, going to get smaller and smaller. Then he asked his class how many believe that a pendulum, will always swing in a decreasing series of arches. And they all said, yes, we believe. We believe it to be true, everything that you have told us. So then he attached a long chain with a big steel ball at the end to the ceiling. And he asked if there was someone in the class who would go over and stand on the chair. And he would take the pendulum and pull it out and hold it right up next to their chin. And then let go of that big steel ball. How many would do that? Nobody got up and went and stood in the chair. Of course, they said they believed. There was a certain amount of intellectual assent there. But true saving faith, true belief, is something you act upon. And that was his point. That's true saving, believing faith. Faith is believing the Word of God and then acting upon that Word. You must come to the place where you are willing to risk everything for what you say you believe. For one of those kids, if they went up and got on that chair, they would have been risking their chin, their face. Because if it wasn't true, it would have smacked them right in their head if it went the other way. That's saving faith. It's risking everything. We risk everything on what God says about how to die right and to die in His arms and to go to heaven when we die and not a place that we know that's called hell. We're risking everything on that. Faith is not... MacDonald went on and said this. I thought this was good. He said, faith is not a part of the Christian life. It is the Christian life. So this statement takes us back to the first point, those seven things that describe the Christian life. Faith is the key to entering into the Christian life. And faith is the key when it comes to living the Christian life. Ephesians 2:8, and we didn't have this in our list, so it would be number 8. Says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When it comes to salvation, faith is the means, faith is the channel through which salvation happens. Someone said, faith is like the hand of the beggar who takes the gift while adding nothing to it. A gift that has been fully paid for by the giver, who is God. And so God paid the full price for our salvation and for our forgiveness and for our redemption so that one day we can go to heaven. He paid for it through the shed blood of His own Son. And that was the coinage that was used, was the blood of Christ. And He says, by faith we reach out and take it. We receive it as our very own. And the question I want to ask you this morning, have you by faith received God's gift of forgiveness? Of God's gift of salvation? Have you been convicted of your sin and reached out in faith, trusting Him and Him alone to save you? Because that's the only way you enter into the Christian life. It's not by becoming a member of any church or by being baptized or going through any kind of confirmation type of class. There's only one way to enter into the Christian life, to be forgiven of sins and belong to God. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have done that, who by faith have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, now we live the life the same way we got into it, by grace through faith. Father, we thank You that the key to all of it, the key to entering into it, and the key to living it, the Christian life, has been provided to us.